All right. We got Thursday, December 11th right in front of us. And what a day of news is sort of unfolding in front of us. If you're a big fan of college football, what is happening in Ann Arbor is something else. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about one of the all-time downward spirals happening in front of, right in front of our eyes. We're going to talk about some historic bag fumbles along the way. But welcome. It is really good to have you back here. Thanks so much for coming back to Damon Bruce Plus. Hit like and subscribe if you would, please. The more you lean into that like button right now, the more this video gets pushed across the good old interwebs. And of course, you hit that subscribe button, it really helps build the audience. You hit that like button, makes this show nicey nice. Thank you so much. You want to become a member? There's plenty of merch out there. I got some Christmas shopping coming up. Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for supporting me, and thank you for supporting the sponsors. A great way to support what we're doing over here, starting with our friends at Sleeper. Our friends at Sleeper right now are offering a $100 deposit match up to $100 when you use promo code Damon on the link that is right in the top of the description of this video. Check out Sleeper for the best fantasy plays, best promo, best prop bets you're going to see, huge payouts. Have fun, be responsible. Our friends over at Sleeper got a hell of an app. I need you to check it out. I want you to check it out. Use promo code Damon when you do. My man, Ike, you want to talk delicious every single day. Ike is ready to talk delicious with you. One of the best sandwich shops in the world, and hopefully there's one opening or near you soon. The ever-expanding Ike's Empire. If you are a part of it, sign up for that Love Rewards program. And I'm going to tell you right now, how about this? You use promo code TREAT now through December 17th, and you get a free dessert with any sandwich. My man just giving it away in the holiday spirit of the times. And, of course, we thank the Dubliner West Portal for always supporting us. Where are you going to watch that Sharks game this afternoon during happy hour? Where are you going to watch Warriors, who should be at full strength, tomorrow night? Where are you going to watch 49ers and Titans this weekend? Check out the Dubliner West Portal. Love those guys. Kenny and John, thank you so much for all of your support. Thank you, all of you, for all of your support. Let's just get right into what is just one of the all-time opportunities thrown away over Chase and Tail. I mean, you got to be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. Sherrone Moore is dropping one of the all-time meltdown bag fumbles in real time, and the story just gets worse and worse. And the more questions that get asked, the worse and worse it sounds like it could get. This is really something else. Just sharing you from the ESPN story, which again has been breaking since last night. Moore, Michigan's now ex-coach, he was let go, remained in custody at county jail as a suspect in an alleged assault on Wednesday, just hours after he was fired as the Wolverines football coach for having what the school said was, quote, an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. So there's a lot of real information out there. There's plenty of fake information. There's a lot of funny, made up, just trolling from Ohio State fans information out there. There's a story that a DoorDasher actually brought a plan B to the Michigan football office. Was she Prego? Did he force an abortion? The answer to that looks like it might be a strong yes. I got to tell you something that I really probably shouldn't even share with you. And I don't want to identify anyone here. The minute the picture of the woman who is involved here went out, a buddy of mine reached out to me and said, I used to coach her in high school basketball. I am in 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon, 1 degree away from knowing the woman that is at the center of this controversy. So it is a small world out there. Did he break into his girlfriend's house? Did he hold her at gunpoint? Was he threatening to kill her himself? Look, as the timeline comes out and as the story unfolds, we will get more information for sure. TMZ already has audio of a woman claiming that he attacked her and stalked her for months. Is that the same woman? A new woman? What is going on there? Woof. Okay. But one of the things we now know is that the rumors about this, which, by the way, we're going back to summer, before this football season even started, in the darkest corner of Big Ten football chat rooms, there was a story that Sharon Moore was sleeping around with people he should not be sleeping around with. Number one, he's married. Number two, he's got kids. Number three, he's the head coach of Michigan. And you cannot basically, there's probably a nicer way to say it. And I understand that she's a girl, but you're not allowed to fuck the water boy when you're a head coach. And I know that this woman might be a position a lot higher than water boy. Maybe she was the assistant administrator to the head coach. I don't know what is going on here or what anyone's title was other than his title said head coach. When it says head coach on your business card, you are then responsible for everything. And what's amazing to me is how you can stand in front of a room. I mean, so back in the day, like back in the day when young men were, you know, chasing women more than they were chasing internet clout, back in the day, a day that really doesn't even exist anymore, you know, coaches would tell you that there's an awful lot of football to coach, but half their time is also making sure that all their young men keep it in their pants. And if they do take it out of their pants, it's in a consensual, willing, everybody's on board with what's about to happen situation. For you to stand in front of a group of young men who are all just boiling over with testosterone, they're at the I feel invincible phase of their life. And, you know, thanks to NIL, everybody's got a little jingle jangle money in their pocket now. These guys are feeling untouchable. And one of the things I'm guessing you need to do is make sure that guys are making the right choices when no one is looking. That's what character is all about. Sports don't build character, they reveal it. Have you ever heard anything like that before? Well, character is who you are when no one is looking. And as a head coach, you get up in front of a room of young men and you preach and try to install in them the kind of character that means when no one's looking, you're still making good choices. You are a gentleman. I know that's a weird concept for some people, but that's part of the job. How can you ask a room full of young men to do that when you can't even prevent yourself from doing it? Well, things get complicated around the... No. This is one of the all-time bag fumbles. Do you realize that this guy, who is a head coach of a Big Ten university, a young man at the dawn of his career, just went 9-3. Like, no, you know, there's a lot of talk. What Adam Schefter, a Michigan guy, comes out and says, well, there was an awful lot of pressure that Sharon would. There's an awful lot of pressure, period, no matter what. Welcome to the dope show. Of course there was pressure. There was internal pressure for Sharon Moore that, you know, I mean, I'm sure he has elements of internal pressure that an African-American coach understands that I can't. I get it. But guess what? You're all on a hot seat. And oh, by the way, if you don't mind me saying, as coarse as this is going to sound, if you are a married father and head coach of Michigan who happens to also be a black guy, you probably should not start fucking the blonde staffer. It just can't look good. There's no way to frame that as an oops. You just need to make better choices. Good God, you're in a multi-million dollar job that gives you a position of influence in the state of Michigan that is tantamount to being the damn governor. You are a man that an entire alumni base is supposed to look up and towards and say, this is the guy right here. And you can't keep it in your pants? Like, that's pathetic. That's pathetic. I mean, could you go rub one out in the corner, for God's sakes? What's wrong with you? Now, was she a willing participant until she became an unwilling participant? That's why you never go there in the first place, because things do change in relationships. It is insane. It's insane that this guy would create a booby trap for himself to fall into, no pun intended there, but it's insane. It's insane how often this happens. It's insane. I'm going to tell you right now that I feel like I can speak on this with authority. Because guess what I am? I'm a lot of things, right? I'm a lot of things. But I'm a man of my word. I'm a man of my word. I'm telling you right now, you could literally line up the 10 women that I think are, you know, among the hottest women in the planet, put all of them absolutely buck naked in front of me and said, Damon, pick one. Jillian will never know. No one will ever know. I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. You want to know why? It's because I made a vow. Like, that's a promise on steroids, right? I made a vow. I pledge in my life to be loyal to Jillian. I would never go back on that pledge, so I can look at myself in the mirror, so I can look at her in the eye. That is called, I mean, like, look, I don't have much discipline. That's one thing I am. I don't lie. I don't lie. I don't promise someone I'm going to love you forever and then don't. It's unbelievable that people are just so casual with the concept of, I've chosen a person. Yeah, I'm going to cheat on that person just for some dalliance. I'm just going to go get my rocks off over here. It's nuts. I mean, where are the real men in the world? Where are the real men in the world who stick to their vows, who make a, whose character defines them? That's all I got left. Let me tell you, I used to have this really big radio job that paid me a really nice salary. Both of those things were taken away from me. I got all sorts of reasons to not feel like myself anymore, but I still got my character, and they're never going to take that away from me. Sharon Moore is never going to work again. Who could ever look at this guy and say, yeah, you're the right person to be responsible for a group of anything? It's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that someone could be so ridiculously cavalier with one of the greatest opportunities any person in America has. You're the head coach at Michigan. Like, all you got to do is pretty much not fuck that up, right? And I'm going to tell you right now, Michigan, you're filthy. You're an absolutely filthy program. Absolutely. I mean, from Jim Harbaugh and Connor Stallions, who are both show cause level cheaters. Their athletic director, what's his name again? I wrote it down here. What's his name? What's it? Ward Manuel. He needs to be fired today. Are you kidding me? Michigan, you need an enema. You got a lot of shit to the point where, honestly, the Big Ten should just suspend them from all Big Ten participation for a year. This is a school that got caught cheating and said, okay, we're just going to go on doing some sketchy ass shit. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Jim Harbaugh, his pal Connor Stallions, you're frauds. You're cheats of the first degree. Jim Harbaugh's national championship at Michigan is worthless. They cheated to get it. We all know it. How they get to keep it is beyond me. Apparently, the good folks at Michigan and Ann Arbor have the internet too, and they looked at Big Ten chat rooms, right? And they knew, and I guess brought in Moore and the woman that he was sleeping with and asked them about it, and both of them just gave all sorts of denial, and we didn't do it, and we didn't do anything wrong. And that's, you know, how can your investigation go further than that? It's a his and her situation. Both him and her say nothing happened. Okay. It's really hard to prove a negative. You know, how can you prove to me beyond a reasonable doubt you didn't read that book? You can't. You can't prove to me you didn't read a book. Other than it's 2025 and who reads books anymore? I guess there's that. By the way, I'm reading a book right now. It's really good. It's called Notes on Being a Man by Scott Galloway. It's about kids growing up in a digital age and just how, you know, there's some dark forces out there. And because I'm a father raising two young men in a world that I wasn't unfamiliar with, I'm reading this book and it's been fascinating. That's why I'm a little bit fired up on the topic of what real men and how men are supposed to behave. Because there's a generation that has lost its way out there. So Michigan says that, you know, they did their due diligence when this came up. They interviewed and they talked about it. But now here they are. Months later, what changed? She came forward. She came forward and said, yeah, there is something. And is that when he started threatening her? If he did, allegedly, is that when he broke into the house and all that stuff? We will know more about the timeline. But all I can tell you is that we're never going to hear about this dude again. He is done. He's done. You want to talk about bag fumbles. This is an all-time bag fumble. It really is. It's an all-timer. Because with all the other bag fumbles, it's usually just like, oh, you got fired, you got embarrassed, and now you don't get your money. This dude is literally, as we speak right now during this live stream, sitting in a jail being mentally evaluated because he might be a cutter. He might be somebody who does self-harm. He is in that desperate of a mind space because he does realize that over a slice of ass, he just gave away his entire life. Over one buttered muffin. I hope it was sunshine, dude. I hope it was sunshine. I hope it was enough for you to fantasize happily about that as the rest of your life is basically a tumbleweed blowing across the desert. The bag fumbles. You want to talk about the all-time bag fumbles in the history of sports? I mean, you can look at it just from a financial consideration, and there's still one king of them all. The all-time bag fumble belongs to Spencer Haywood. Spencer Haywood, in the late 70s, was given a choice by Nike. You can have 10% equity in Nike or $100,000. Spencer Haywood took the $100,000 over the 10% equity in Nike, which is basically worth billions of dollars today. So that is, I mean, that's, you know, instead of having the billions today, you took $100,000. Spencer Haywood, one of the all-time bag fumble, if you really think about it in sports. Dennis Schroeder. That's an easy one, right? He turned down an $84 million extension with the Lakers. He hit free agency and was playing the next year on a one-year, $6 million deal with the Celtics. Turned down $84 million guaranteed over multiple seasons, only to land in 1 year, $6 million. That is a bad choice. But those are just like financial decisions. You start adding the element of sex, things get really interesting. Let me just bring you back to a guy who not even a year ago, like a calendar year ago, right? A calendar year ago was one of the most omnipresent rising voices in all sports media. Every time you turned on your TV, every time you were looking for a podcast, every single time you went on YouTube, who was waiting for you? It was Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp got elevated to, you know, to ESPN. He's sitting there on First Take now. And look, regardless of what you and I think of First Take, that's a big stick. You know, whenever I see my buddy Joe Fortenbaugh on First Take, I don't like or watch First Take, but I'm so happy for Joe. That is so great for his career. That's Walmart, baby. That's Walmart. Everybody shops there. Shannon Sharp right now is back to being a boutique. Dude was Walmart a year ago. He's back to being a boutique. Why? Because he paid for a C-minus hoe. Is there no other way to say it? Have you seen the check that Shannon Sharp gave away? Multi-million dollars of career opportunity and exposure and platform for? First of all, it's kind of gross. She looked like she was 14 with a fat ass. Shanna Sharpe's got a C-minus hoe. He went to an OnlyFans amateur because it was more fun to chase her, I guess, than a Las Vegas pro. Like, seriously. How pathetic is that? How? By the way, what's the point of being, like, in really great shape, world famous, and moneyed up if you got to still go out and pay? Like, you got no ability to talk a woman back to your place. Like, what, you got to pay for it at that point? Like, that's pathetic. That's pathetic. Like, what's the point of being rich and famous if you still got to rent it? Ugh. Look at Tiger Woods. Look at what Tiger Woods threw away. Now, Tiger Woods is still very high profile. He's still very, very famous. He's very rich. He's accepted in a lot of households. Still, Tiger Woods has been in, you know, on a long enough rebound tour. But what's helped him in the rebound tour is how out of sight, out of mind he's been because all the injuries since. And Tiger Woods, his life went spiraling down. Why? Because there's no way four hot chicks talked to him in his life before he became famous. And after he became famous, it was a tsunami of hot chicks trying to get in his pants, right? And, you know, a few got through. His entire aura of being nothing but, you know, a steely-eyed, never going to screw it up for himself competitor, it was shattered right there. Tiger Woods went from being unbeatable to walking wounded. Why? Over a Perkins hostess and Rachel Yucatel. Wasn't that her name? I think that was her name. Rachel Yucatel, right? I think so. Sex takes down football players. Sex takes down golfers and everyone in between. Like, keep it in your pants, dudes. What are you doing? You know, then you got some like bag fumbles that are like only available to the rich and famous. Look at Donald Sterling. Donald Sterling's ultimate bag fumble turned into like a $1 billion payout for him when he had to sell the Clippers. But I'm going to tell you right now, being thrown out of the NBA forever because you're a racist asshole will be in the opening paragraph of that man's obituary. I mean, that's a hell of a trade out. You know, is there enough money that you could have that you would be comfortable with universal ridicule? No. No. Then I started thinking about this like a little bit more esoterically, I guess. And, you know, what you made on the night you committed your crime, air quotes, as opposed to what you would have made had you not done any of that. Pete Rose, instead of being a godlike baseball figure who wore a Hall of Fame jacket for the vast majority of his life and, you know, think about all the card shows he could have gone to as a Hall of Famer. And Pete Rose is good on the air. He would have been on TV more. He would have been somebody that was at the center of baseball conversations for four decades, like it, being in the center of good baseball conversations. But no, Pete Rose decided to win a couple of $1,000s on the Cincinnati Reds, betting on the sport of baseball. And he is then consigned to a life of shame and ridicule and having to sign. Here's how pathetic it got for Pete Rose. At the very end, when he finally admitted that he bet on baseball, if you saw him in a card shop, and he would sit in that card shop in the Vegas Forum, you could walk in the Vegas Forum and see sad ass Pete Rose sitting in there signing cards. It was fucking pathetic. And what made it even more pathetic is he'll sign an autograph Pete Rose for $100. He'll write the words "I'm sorry" for $200, and for $500 he will actually autograph your book, your baseball, "I'm sorry I bet on baseball." How pathetic. Over what? Over the instant gratification of, yeah, I won a couple $1,000s on the Reds tonight because I called my bookie. It's just, Does nobody do risk reward? Does nobody do any risk reward math on anything? It's shocking to me. It's stunning to me. It really is. Look, I want to thank everybody for being here. Thank you so much for stopping on by. Thank you for hitting like and subscribe. Again, we're trying to get to 50,000 subs. We wanted to be there by the bye week. We missed our window, but it doesn't mean it still isn't going to happen, and it'll happen sooner. If you tap that subscribe button, thank you very, very much for doing so. Let's talk a little bit about something else that is not in the news today, but is certainly on the internet today, okay? Robert Sala apparently has some buzz about him in Las Vegas. They wanted to bring in Sala as a defensive coordinator. Now there's talk that they might come back from him. We did yesterday's show on what the Raiders could ever do to fix their situation. And I honestly, it's hard to really find it coming into focus what the Raiders could ever do to fix their situation, because even if you got it all right, you're then never playing a home game. But if I were the Raiders, I would absolutely throw a bank at Robert Saleh. He is the level of credibility that that franchise just has not been able to find for years. But if I were to take that job in Las Vegas, Robert Saleh, I would immediately have three rules. And these are the three rules that probably mean, well, you're not going to get hired. Rule number one, I don't want to see Mark Davis around this football team, not fucking never. He's a loser. He's got loser energy. And he just get him away. You get Mark, sit in your goddamn suite. You want to come down in the locker room wearing your dad's freaking zip-up track suit. You want to walk around pregame on game day, high-fiving players. That's fine. That's fine. But any decision, not a word, not a word, not a word, Mark. You just sit there and you have that goofy smile. So that would be rule number one. No owner is going to hire you under that rule number one. Rule number two, Tom Brady. It's you and me now. Give up the damn gig at five. You want to do this? Fixing the Raiders ain't a part-time job, Tom. Give me you and me doing this? I want full control over my coaching staff. And oh, by the way, I want a guaranteed 7 years. Not just five. I want a guaranteed 7 years, to the point where if you try to fire me before my 7 years are up, I get a 30% ownership stake. Like, you cannot fire me. I get all the time in the world to fix this, because that's how big of a fuck up you guys have created. I need more than 4 or 5 years. I need seven. I want a 7-year contract that is unbreakable and instantly guaranteed every penny. And I want top dollar, and then I'll think about coming to Las Vegas. That's how I would do it if I were Robert Saleh. It would be the kind of money to where once everything didn't go right there, you'd never have to work again, so you wouldn't matter. I also hope Robert Saleh doesn't take that job or even gets offered that. I mean, Robert Saleh should wait until he's in a good situation, and there will never be a good situation that is a situation that Mark Davis oversees. It will never be a good situation, ever. So be careful there. Be careful there. I saw something today that just interesting stat about one team made me instantly think about the 49ers, and that's what I want to share with you right here. So, you know, when you think about having a bad offense, what do you think about? You think about, oh, that bad offense causes turnovers. That bad offense is responsible for putting your defense in a bad spot from a field position standpoint. And it's also, you know, your defense is going to be in a bad spot because they're just going to play more this game than the offense is, because your defense is going to be bad out on the field longer than your offense is, because your offense isn't good enough to stay out on the field. Keep those chains moving. And so that's how you always think about it. At least that's how I always thought about it. Gary Dulac, who covers the Steelers for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, was doing a little analysis of what's wrong with the Steelers. And what he came away with was this. Pittsburgh has run a league low 718 offensive plays and allowed a league high 897 plays against their defense. Based on the fact that NFL teams average about 62 plays per game, Pittsburgh's defense has been out there for about 180 plays more, which means the defense that the Steelers have has already played the snaps equivalent of three more football games this season. This is like, you know, mileage. We don't look at the NFL in terms of load management at all, and I never want to. But if you want to ask how do you rub a defense down, how do you grind a defense down to its nub, overextend their amount of snaps in every single game that they have to play. Could you imagine right now what it would look like if the San Francisco 49ers defense had been on the field for 180 more plays than they have been this year? Then the Niners would not have a good record if that's where they were. They would not. So it got me thinking, what is that number? And I looked it up. The 49ers offensive plays run so far this season, they've run 836 offensive plays. Their defense has faced 790 plays run by their opponents. So they're in actually a surplus. The offense has played more than the defense. And thank God, because could you imagine the difference between that, by the way, is 107 plays. Could you imagine if in this season, this defense had faced 107 more offensive snaps? Not good. Not good. It's another reason why Kyle Shanahan should be coach of the year, because how he's kept this offense on the field under the circumstances this offense has been playing under all damn year long is incredible. It really is. Sam Bruno, Mike, Cam Hayward looks so worn down after every game, win or lose. Yeah, dude, because they're out there way too long. Just out there way, way too long. That'll grind you down, man. Absolutely wear you down. Speaking of being worn down, we've got to talk a little bit about Joe Burrow. Did you see the sullen Joe Burrow press conference that's kind of out there right now? Joe Burrow is not enjoying his situation. We got a morose Joe Burrow. And he's talking about how he's not having any fun. And this is a guy who's got Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. Like, that should be a certain level of quarterback fun. But I'll tell you, I mean, from not personal experience, but just all the interviews I've ever done to players, and nothing sours an athlete's mood more than injuries or rehabbing injuries. That is a solitary, awful thing to have to do once in your career, much less as many times as Joe Burrow's already had to done it. Like Joe Burrow, he started his career with a torn ACL, PCL, MCL meniscus back in 2020. He had a dislocated finger in 2021, an MCL sprain in 2022, a calf strain, a torn list ligament in 2023, and most recently a turf toe, which caused him to miss most of this year. Burrow said, "I think I've been through more than most." The quote continues, "It's certainly not easy on the brain or the body. I'm just trying to have fun doing it again. I want to keep doing this, but that's what I'm trying to do with myself. I have to have fun doing it. If it's not fun, what am I doing it for?" Well, there is a huge pile of money, but obviously that's not Joe Burrow's Jesus right now. He is not having fun playing for the Cincinnati Bengals. And in Cincinnati, you got fans wondering if this could be Andrew Luck 2.0. You know, at what point has Joe Burrow said, "I've made enough money to never have to work a day in my life again, and what I'm going to do is step away from this game before it breaks me even further, and screw it. You know, the draft attached me to one of the all-time perennial loser franchises, and I can't overcome just the losing nature of the Cincinnati Bengals. It's got to be brutal out there. It's hard to feel bad for Joe Burrow, but when you saw him at that press conference, you kind of did. Like, this guy's not enjoying the ride. Can you blame him, as bumpy as it's been? Maybe what he needs is a trip. A little vacation. Now, I don't know if going overseas with the Cincinnati Bengals would ever feel like vacation, but we will have more NFL teams overseas in new locations. A little story that came out yesterday, the NFL announced that it's going to continue playing regular season games, and it will play a regular season game in Munich next year. So that could very well be the Lions, who are expected to have an international game. International games are also scheduled for Melbourne, Australia, Rio, and London. Let me tell you, that flight to Australia is asking a football team to go through a long flight. Jeez. Rio, London, that's a hop, skip, and a jump away compared to Australia. But there are going to be more international destinations picked. I'm telling you, it's only going to be a matter of time before China, Japan, Singapore, they're going to go to where the money is. And there's a lot of money there in those places. The NFL is going to have a straight up every single week. You're going to get an international game like you get a Thursday night game. I think that's going to be the future of this league. I really do. Now, Red Jet says, hopefully the 49ers get to be a part of overseas games. Oh, I think it'd be cool, too. Jed York, I don't know who he prays to. He went to Notre Dame. I'm guessing Jesus might be on the list. But he prays to Jesus that he's not going international ever. I mean, no one wants that trip. You do it, you get it, you take advantage of it. But nobody wants that trip. It's a level of international business that's a spigot of money that they're just going to keep turning up higher. They're never going to turn that off again. We got Mike Baker on the drums. Thank you very much, Mike. He says, we need a super chat. Off topic, but have you and Larry ever asked Kyle why he doesn't go out and check on players when they get hurt? First of all, Kyle Shanahan was standing right over Trey Lance when he broke his ankle. And for the most part, the reason why coaches don't go out there is because no player wants to see a head coach standing with a concerned look over their faces as they're laying on the ground. That is where you have your team trainer go out there. How about this? Good news doesn't travel by helicopter. You've heard that, right? It's never good for a player to be injured, look up and see his head coach standing over him. I think that's part of the reason why Kyle doesn't do it. Number two, there's another play that's about to be run. So you got to keep coaching the game that you're in. You got to stay focused. That might sound very matter of fact, but that's it. You know, only once in my life have I seen an NFL game stopped over an injury. It happened once in Cincinnati. It happened once. It's not going to probably ever happen again. Next play, keep going. That's the rule of this league. What can Kyle do out there? He doesn't know how to handle any injury other than put a player on IR. That's the only thing he can really do. Staying out of the way. I would go, Kyle, it's full pass on that because it's the too many cooks in the kitchen rule. Kyle doesn't need to be out there. If he feels there is a reason to go out there, something awful has happened. So that would be my reasoning as to why you haven't seen it. I'm telling you, I'm going to be refreshing my timeline today to see what else is going on in this Michigan story. How much does it continue to unravel? Chef A. Too many cooks? Not possible. I can use all the help I can. Let me tell you, head chef. Let me tell you, you're lying. You're lying. All the sous chefs, all the help with mise en place, all that. The minute someone starts planning your menu for you, you're going to insist there are too many cooks in your kitchen. I know you. The reason why we like each other so much is because deep down inside, we're both very stubborn. I'm calling you out on that. There would definitely be too many cooks in your kitchen quickly. It wouldn't take more than just somebody stepping on your toe to go like, oh, wait a minute, back up. Love you, Chef A. You got me. Thank you, Chef. Thank you. I appreciate the honesty. I really, really do. All right, couple of other things about sports, then something about society that will make you want to cry in your coffee. And by the way, I hope you had a great sip of the day. We've been having lovely sips of the day today. I haven't choked once. And then we're going to have our day in history. So the Warriors are going to be back on it on Friday. Warriors are back on it. It's going to be the Timberwolves at Chase Center. And look, we might get one of the healthiest nights of Warriors basketball that we have seen all season. Steph Curry is expected to return. The rest of the injury report is basically empty right now. This long week off, Warriors didn't play on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or tonight. They play again tomorrow. And I think that this is good for the Warriors. Steph Curry, always good for the Warriors. There's nothing even to debate, right? Curry's expected to return on Friday. This is good news, Warriors. Let's see what you got. Mike says, Damon, thanks for the explanation. I've seen other coaches getting out there when they see a key player get hurt. I'm always wondered why. What you said makes sense. Here's the thing. Here's another reason why you might not want to go out there. How, you know, if you're out there for a key player getting hurt, what happens if you don't go out there for the other guy getting hurt? Does he now not feel like he's a key player? You know, it's one of those better, there's a precedent here. And I don't go out on the field for injuries. We got trainers to do that. But thank you very much. For the Supers. Always appreciate you, Mike. Damon, if you're ever in Piedmont, check out Timeless Coffee. They're a vegan cafe that'll give you belief that vegan food can be enjoyable. Look, I've tried things that are, you know, vegan. They didn't tell me it was vegan. I ate it and I was like, oh, that was good. And then they're like, oh, vegan. I was like, after the fact, fine. But no, I basically reject that. And I will be going to eat places that serve raw hunks of pork before I go any place that's vegan. Sorry. I got to be me. I do like good coffee, though. They got good coffee. That's good. It's called a salad. As you can see by my body type, not very familiar with salads. Sharks at Maple Leafs tonight. Sharks at Maple. Did I say tonight? You get Sharks at Maple Leafs during happy hour. Go Sharks. Go Sharks. Sharks at 4 o'clock. You can put your Sharks out before the kids even come home. Get a couple periods in before you got the pitter patter, little feet all around the damn house. Go Sharks. Sharks and Maple Leafs. I'm excited. I'm in the show. I'm in. Sharks, I'm in. All right. I got something that I got to show you. There are not a lot of graphs that explain the downfall of society that you will ever see in your life more than what I'm about to show you. I need to show this to you. Let me make sure that you can actually see this. Wait, stop. Come on back here. Come on back here. Come on back. Okay. What we have here is how people spend their time from 1930 to 2024. So the data predates World War II. So in 1932, where this bar graph starts, your free time, at least nearly 23% of it, was spent with family. After that, it was school. After that, it was friends. After that, it was neighbors. Then it became a church, bar or restaurant, college with coworkers. And then online is at 0% because there was no line to be on other than a tightrope in 1932 that would mean you are online. Okay. So let's look at this. Are you ready to go here? Watch this. Watch this. I'm going to hit play. Here we go. Wait, I'm going to bring this down so there's no music or anything. Watch this. 35 really changes. Then the graph starts changing. Oh, friends become more important in 1944 around the World War II. You got friends starting to take over time that you spend with family or school or bar or restaurant or coworkers. Now we're going to eventually hear, you know, stay in that friends, family zone, bar, restaurants in the 70s, people going out, partying more, disco, discotheque. You know, there's a little cocaine out there. People are having some fun. Now we're in the early 80s and watch online. Online is about to go up this chart like it was Jerry Rice on the all-time touchdowns list, like it was Barry Bonds on the all-time home runs list. Look at friends get replaced online in 2012, and look at where online goes. Look at where this goes and doesn't stop. Look at that, the point where, I'm going to let it run again, we're spending nearly 60% of our free time online. Now look, you're online right now, and I'm guessing this is your free time, and I thank you for doing that. As soon as the show's over, I need you to call a friend. I need you to call a family member. I need you to get offline and spend more time in real life. Online is not real life. Online is not real life. And look, this is why. It even says here, this is why society is in decline. Wonder why? Here it is. Look at the amount of time we spend just sticking around online. I mean, I'm sure some of that is nice. You know, you're connecting or sending an email to your parents or something. Like, there is some elements of being online that are very good. But good God, should we be spending 60% of our free time online in 20 friends? Have dripped to 13%, coworkers 8%, bar restaurant 4.9%. This is I saw this and I had to share it with you because it was just, well, it confirms what we all know, and it's just stunning and sad. And are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? That's our lives. That's what we do. I mean, I'm guilty of it myself. I'm guilty of it myself. You know, my wife and I are always talking about, we got to put our phones down in front of our kids. We got to just be more present, more present. Again, the very first step in recovery is admitting you have a problem, right? It's why I'm reading that book. I'm specifically reading a book because, number one, I think it could help me raise my kids. And number two, I need to be looking at fewer screens. I need to get out of screens. I'm a 50-year-old man. I'll be 51 years old in March. And I got to tell you, reading a book is a different thing now than it was just 5-10 years ago. Like, just being able to concentrate on a page is sometimes is a chore. I mean, we're so used to the dopamine hit of give me something new, give me something interesting, give me something to laugh at, give me something that angers me, give me something to just sit and focus on a singular topic for any amount of time is just, it's harder and harder to do now than ever before. Get offline, get in a book, spend time with people whose company you enjoy, and try not to bang the head coach intern. This is all good advice. All good advice today here on the show. Are you ready for a little today in history? Guess what I forgot to do? Guess what I totally forgot to do? I forgot to look up whose birthday it was. So happy birthday to everyone who is a celebrity who I've totally forgot about today. Happy birthday to you. Today in 1769, Venetian blinds were patented over in England. I hate Venetian blinds. I hate Venetian blinds. I can't stand them. I don't like the way they look. They always break. They always get wrinkled. They always get snapped. They always get bent. Venetian blinds. Ugh. Ugh. Today in 1844, you want to talk about putting your money where your mouth is, literally, Dr. Horace Wells became the first person to have a tooth extracted after receiving an anesthetic. He took nitrous oxide for the dental procedure, which was done by Dr. John M. Riggs. This was in 1844. You know, way to buck up there and put yourself in that seat, Dr. Horace Wells. But who really deserves the credit here is everyone who ever had to get a tooth extracted before dulling that sensation came around. Could you imagine getting a tooth pulled? No Novocaine, no nitrous oxide, no, oh my God, it's torture. Torture. By the way, I wanted to include that one. My father-in-law is a retired dentist. My grandfather was a dentist. Here's to nitrous oxide. Could you imagine? Could you imagine? By the way, I see some supers coming in here. We'll get to those after we get through today in history. Speaking of one of the ultimate, whatever was between those legs must have been sunshine conversations. Today in 1936, Britain's King Edward VIII abdicated the throne to marry American divorcee Wallace Simpson. Guy gave up being the King of England for some Baltimore strange. Wow. Okay. Okay. I hope she must have been very flexible. That's the only thing I'm sure of when it comes to Ms. Simpson. So King Edward tapped out before World War II really even started. And in 1941, Germany and Italy today declared war on the United States. We won. Today in 1964, by the way, yesterday was the death of Otis Redding. Today in 1964, Sam Cooke was shot and killed by the motel manager of the Hacienda Motel where he was staying. Ugh, another, just listen to that voice. Nobody in music has ever sounded like Sam Cooke. I told you yesterday, get yourself some Otis Redding. Today, get yourself some Sam Cooke. That's Cooke with an E on the end of it, by the way. Today, arguably the most important day in the history of mustaches. In 1980, today, Magnum P.I. premiered on CBS. And instantly, Tom Selleck became the most recognizable mustache on the planet. Today in 1981, Muhammad Ali fought a fight he probably shouldn't have fought. His 61st and final fight, Trevor Burbick. It's one of the saddest things you will ever see. Don't even say it's sad. Muhammad Ali was being abused by the people that managed him for money at that point, and he was sent into that fight, punched drunk before the bell rang. It did not go well. Today in 1987, the movie Throw Mama from the Train was in theaters. Not a very good movie. Empire of the Sun was in theaters, a very good movie with a young Christian Bale in a story about being interned in Japanese internment camps when he was over in Japan. It's fascinating. It's a really good movie, really good story. Great. John Malkovich, a young John Malkovich is in that movie. Really good movie. Christian Bale as a, 13-year-old in this movie, you can be like, oh, this guy's going to be a hell of an actor. That's a really good movie. And an even better movie than that also came out today. You had the choice. What are we going to go see? You want to go see Throw Mama from the Train? You made a bad choice. You want to go see Empire of the Sun? You made a good choice. You made a great choice if you went and saw Wall Street. Wall Street came out today in 1987. Greed is good. I think that's pretty much the, that's the new American motto, is it not? Greed is good. Shame on us all. Today in 1997, more than 150 countries agreed at a global warming conference in Kyoto, Japan, to control the Earth's global warming and greenhouse gases, the Kyoto Accord, the Kyoto Agreement, which, of course, we instantly backed out of because there's been nothing but doing it wrong for years now. I wonder who's responsible for that. It feels like it's one side more than the other. Also, speaking of galactic assholes, today in 2008, Bernie Madoff was arrested for bilking clients for hundreds of millions of dollars, the amount of lives he destroyed, that son of a bitch. Bernie Madoff, bad person. Bad, bad person. So, a couple more supers here today. Again, thank you very much to Damon. When do we get to hear Christmas time is here this season? See, the radio misses me. If I played it here, I'd get flagged for content. I can't play it, unfortunately. But Christmas time, it is here. Thank you, Tom. It was one of my favorite radio bits. Trying to get Ray Ratto to sing along. It never went particularly well. By the way, Excessive03 says, Damon, I'm a stay-at-home dad. You and other podcasters keep me entertained while I do the boring work like my favorite, the laundry. Thank God for that, Ned. Thank you very, very much. So laundry is the bane of my existence. I hate laundry so much. I can't do it. Laundry. Bleh. I hear you, man. Chef A. Hey, anybody watching Iverson? Really good. What is there a documentary now about Iverson that I don't know about? Is there a new documentary about Allen? Chef A, you're telling me about it. Allen Iverson is one of my absolute favorite players of all time. The Hoya Paranoia, when he would do Allen Iverson at Georgetown, is the fastest thing you will ever see on a basketball court in your life. I will check that out. I will absolutely check that out. So, thank you so much for watching today. Thanks for hanging out today. Oh, by the way, Sam Batesh was supposed to join us today, but unfortunately, a meeting popped up. Sammy couldn't join us today. We'll see if he can get here tomorrow. If not, he'll be with us next week. We'll definitely be back at it for Wake Up. It is game week again for the 49ers. Yours truly and Larry Kruger, 9 a.m. Friday, West Coast time. We'll be co-streaming on our channels a little Wake Up for you. In the meantime, thank you very much for hanging out with us today. Great to see you once again. It is a pleasure to have you here. Now, get offline. Go outside. I know it's a little chilly here in San Francisco. Go outside. Be a little chilly outside rather than go just watch that next video. Some friendly advice from Uncle Damon to you. Thank you very much to everyone for a super, for your likes, for your subscriptions. Thank you for eating at Ike's. Thank you for checking out Sleeper. Thank you for going to the Dubliner West portal. And thank you for remembering, as always, that sports don't build character, Sharon Moore. They reveal it. And like that, he's gone.